The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
What kind of lies do you believe about yourself?
What will happen is from a very young age, the enemy will plant a lie in our minds. For some of us, it's 5 years old, 10 years old, 8 years old. For me, it was 12 years old, where my dad and I were having an innocent conversation. He would never remember it. And I heard in that moment, you need to hit these marks. And at that point, life became a series of trying to hit marks to be accepted.
The lie you don't know you believe, next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. I'm glad to have you here. I'm glad to have Belinda Lane here with me.
Are you glad to be here? I'm really happy to be here because I love our guest today.
Yeah, yes. You know, and that's why we love her when she comes here.
Yes.
Because she's been on many times. And every time we hear great feedback from our audience, not just like, you know, fluff like we like her, though you do like her, but also like, wow, that really ministered to me. And that's our goal.
Yes, it's Jenny Allen.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it's Jenny Allen.
Her new book, yeah, it's a mouthful.
Yes, The Lie You Don't Know You Believe.
The Lie You Don't Know Believe. What is that? Well, we're going to find out. Jenny, welcome back.
Hey,
we're
thanks
so glad
for having
you're with
me.
Us.
Oh, it's great. Always good to be here. I feel like last time I made you cry, Randy. I don't know if you remember that.
The pressure's on.
So you cannot go to lifetoday.org and see that show. No, you could, actually. But that's funny. I don't even know what
I don't think
about.
You really cried.
Okay. We'll try.
Yeah, we'll try. Okay. It'll be my goal.
Just for those that may not be as familiar, you were the founder of the IF Gathering, mm-hmm. Gather 25. You go around college campuses and... Pretty much, I feel like in the last year, you have seen revival follow you wherever you go. It's kind of been amazing to see. What has that experience? I know we'll talk about the book, but what has it been like to get into these campuses and see like fire being lit mm-hmm. in these young people?
Yeah. I mean, again and again, I just feel like God cares about this generation. I mean, He cares about every generation, but they are desperate. There's a desperation in Gen Z. They have been so hungry for the gospel. It is simple for them. It's not a political move. It's not even a religious move. It's not a denominational thing. It's just, I need help. And you're telling me God loves me. You're telling me God accepts me because of Jesus. Yes. Like, they feel like they've won the lottery when they understand and hear the gospel.
Right, it's even better
It's so beautiful. It's so simple.
Amazing.
It reminds me, I've also been in prisons. I'm going to go to prison next week with God Behind Bars. And I just, again and again, you just see when desperation is there, God moves towards that. And we've been just in awe over and over again.
It's not just on campuses. You actually recently decided to take yourself to Katy Trail in Dallas. And you started just asking on the pavement there, on the jogging trail, you were asking these people, what kind of lies do they believe? Tell about that.
Oh, I mean, it was so vulnerable. We were just stopping people as they're running, poor things, you know, and they're opening up. I mean, they're really sharing quickly, like an amazingly deep need that they have and things that they believe that are negative about themselves. It was really heartbreaking just to hear how quickly people could call to mind lies that they're believing.
Well, let's hear a few of those. This is a little kind of home video thing, if we call it that anymore. But these are actual strangers that Jenny met. And it's interesting to hear what they say. Listen to this.
What is a lie that y'all are believing?
Oh my gosh, I think that I will never be good enough in like my own body.
I feel like I don't know my purpose.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm.
Girl.
I feel like I'm living in this world and I don't know my purpose.
I don't think I can do this. I'm not smart enough for it.
I need the approval of others.
I am a time waster and a terrible procrastinator.
I would probably say that I'm not enough.
A lie that I believe about myself is that I'm worthless.
Really?
Oh, that I'm not good enough at my job.
Whenever I'm tired, I'm not actually tired and I can keep going.
I kind of fall into the lie that I accidentally got here and I'm not supposed to be here. And I don't know, maybe like I'm not capable.
I'll release this book this week. I'll put it in your hands right now and I'll feel like it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people already are saying it's helped them and changed their life. And I still feel like it's not good enough.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's why I wrote it. Because I'm like, I'm so sick of the enemy, like, causing us to, like, live in all this bondage where we are, like, stuck and spiraling and so negative all the time.
Wow. I mean, like you say, people are opening up. That's wild that they would open up to you like that.
Tell me about it. It was shocking. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get when you're just throwing a mic in people's faces on their walks and their runs. It was unbelievable.
This is like a big deal. I mean,
yeah,
we believe these lies.
Yeah.
Where does it come from?
Yeah. I mean, let's just start with a biblical worldview that there is a God that is truth. Mm. Jesus says, I am the truth, the way and the life. So we have a God that is truth. And then he's very clear. Jesus is very clear in John 8 that the enemy is a liar. He says it five different ways in two sentences.
Wow.
That it is his native tongue, that he is a liar and all he speaks is lies. And so I do believe that, you know, we're in the middle of a war. And so, you know, a good lie has to be somewhat believable.
It's true.
And it has to have evidence for us to believe it. And so what will happen is from a very young age, the enemy will plant a lie in our minds. For some of us, it's 5 years old, 10 years old, 8 years old. For me, it was 12 years old, where my dad and I were having an innocent conversation. He would never remember it, but he began just rattling off topics of middle school, like boys and grades and all these things. And I heard in that moment, you need to hit these marks. I do not think that's what he was saying. And I don't think he meant that in that moment. And it is what I took away. Mm-hmm. And at that point, life became a series of trying to hit marks and hit the next mark to be accepted. So the lie you don't know you believe, the reason I titled it that was because most people don't think they believe a lie.
Yeah.
So everybody listening right now is like, this doesn't apply to me.
Right.
Most people, when questioned on the lie they do believe, would defend it as true.
Wow.
And yet, it is shaping our identity. It is shaping the way we interact with God and everybody around us. Mm-hmm. It's shaping the risks we're willing to take and the risks we won't take. It's shaping our whole lives, also affecting the next generations under us. So our kids are picking it up. We don't realize how much it's affecting us because it was planted so early and it has become so core to the way we think and the way we live that we feel completely stuck in it.
So then are there ways, how do you identify that you've believed a lie that you don't know that you've believed?
So I tried to really simplify it because we can't take people through years of counseling, right?
Right.
So, and honestly, like a lot of this has happened for me in counseling. Mm-hmm. And so let's just take the three core basic human lies, which Psych 101 would say that the things we believe about ourselves, all of them can be boiled down to these three. I'm helpless, I'm unlovable, I'm worthless. I'm helpless, I'm unlovable, I'm worthless.
Yeah, we heard that. We heard that in your interviews. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were saying that.
All of those could point to one of those. Mm-hmm. And so what you have to realize is it doesn't manifest itself in our minds that way. Mm. Because if we hear something that
blatant.
Right. We would go, no, I'm not worthless.
Right.
We wouldn't relate to that. Yeah. But we often think to ourselves, I need to hit this mark to be accepted. And we don't know why we're so anxious about it, but we can't seem to get it. Or then we get it and we're still feeling like there's a new mark. And for those that are unlovable, it's people pleasing. You try to get everybody to like you. When someone betrays you, it feels like you can't breathe. Mm. When someone doesn't like you, it feels like you have to fix it. For those that feel helpless, it's like, how much can I control? Either you give up control completely and you're just like, who cares? I can't control my life anyway. Or you try to hyper-control it. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of the ways those lies will actually manifest.
Interesting.
You actually talk about that. It's not just replacing a lie with truth, but actually replacing it with God's vision for your life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, explain that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we think of the verse in John that says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I've always thought that verse probably meant memorizing more scripture or knowing more scripture. And believe me that that can help. In fact, that is really helpful. But we're talking about core lies that you have believed for possibly decades. So those, interrupting those with a verse or a positive thought, you know, I wrote a book called Get Out of Your Head, and everybody loved that book because that book you could apply really quickly. It's like interrupt a thought, replace it with gratitude, replace it with, you know, different things that helped renew your mind, right? That's great. But even when I wrote that book, I knew I would need to write this book because some thoughts have taken such a deep toll on our minds and our life that we can't just interrupt it with a verse, a thought. So in the book, I talk about two kingdoms. And as long as you live in the kingdom of this world, which we all do, and it's feeding us the lies again and again every single day, You need to measure up. You need to try to control as much as you can. Mm-hmm. You need to get as many people as you can to like you, love you, accept you, because that's all you have. So as long as you're living in that world, you better strive and you better hit the marks, because that's what this world cares about. And the oxygen, the commodities in this world, they do have to do with approval, power, mm-hmm. control, all of those things. So you have to shift kingdoms completely. Like, you have to go, I'm not going to live in this world anymore. And so this is what I do in my own mind, is I just go, wait, I'm not a member of this kingdom anymore. Like, I don't have to play by its rules. Sure. I get to go to the other kingdom. And in the other kingdom, the oxygen is grace. I get to fail. I don't have to be liked by everybody. I don't have to control my life, because I serve a God who does. Mm-hmm. And I'm not actually helpless, because I have the Holy Spirit. I have good works that God prepared in advance for me to accomplish and is equipping me to do it. I'm not unlovable. He died for me, for goodness sakes. Like, and I'm not worth nothing, because I am a child of the King in this mm-hmm. kingdom. And so when you shift kingdoms and you actually like put on what it means to be a child of God and live there and enjoy it, you get to exhale.
It's freedom.
It's very freeing.
It's like such freedom.
It feels like a lot of this is really about identity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was writing a book about identity. I should have clued in when everything was, I am this, I am that, I'm not this, I am not. But yes, it's absolutely a book.
And that's one of the core lies. I mean, that's one of the, you look at anybody who's had a very difficult time or is in a bad spot, and you go back and that identity root is going to be a critical component of a lot of problems. So, I mean,
and that's what you're doing. You're getting it.
Yeah,
at the root.
She's digging like down to it. It's I mean, you actually talk about the lies beneath the lies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do we self-examine? Can we do it, or do we need help?
Yes. I actually did build a quiz, because I do think it's important. It's free. And it took me a lot of counseling to get to it, right? But I think it's just good to notice different thought patterns you have. So, you know, just I like to say take inventory. Just start to write down insecurity you have, thoughts that you have about yourself that maybe are negative. Just start to notice them. And when you start to notice them, you're going to notice a theme. And so, one of those lies, we all feel at different times helpless, right? That's part of being human. Sure. We all feel unlovable on certain days. What I'm talking about in this book is a core lie, a lie that you believed at a young age that has dug itself so deeply that it has begun to shape everything about you. So you're looking for those occasional thoughts that you don't think are a big deal, to write them down, to notice them, to begin to share them with people. It's so vulnerable.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so vulnerable because you think it's true. Mm. So to be brave enough to say that I feel like I've got to hit this mark, or I'm not going to matter. Mm-hmm. That feels really brave to say, like, I don't feel lovable in relationships. I feel unlovable. I remember I was on a college campus recently, and a little girl looked at me and said, my dad always loved my little sister more than me. Mm-hmm. And I asked her more about it, and she just openly talked about tears running down her face. That's such a vulnerable thing to say out loud. But when she did, I got to look her in the eyes and say, what do you believe is true about you? And she got to start voicing truth, mm-hmm. voicing that I'm loved by God. Mm-hmm. And he sees me, he knows me, he cares. He saw me all of the times I felt that way. Like, she was able to start voicing these things, but it started with her being vulnerable and her saying out loud, like, this is what I feel.
Not always fun.
Very hard, very hard. It's a very... it's brave work, but I'm telling you, I just want to encourage everybody listening to do the work, because, you know, all of this book started for me because my daughter struggled with mm-hmm. this, and she's sitting there, this glorious human, and telling me that she feels broken and defective. And I realized that my lie was contagious to her. And so we don't want that. Like, we don't want these things to get into and seep into our kids or our grandkids mm-hmm. and into our friendships and our relationships. It is very worth it to do it. And you can't believe, once you say it, how free you feel just saying it out loud.
And then you almost can't believe you didn't see it before now.
I know.
It becomes
so
obvious.
Like everybody on the clip we just watched in the Katy Trail, this girl was like, I don't even believe that's true. And the second she said it, she'd never said it out loud before. She was like, I've given so much thought to this.
That's why. Wow.
And then immediately she was like, I don't even think it's true. Like, she didn't know till she said it out loud.
So there is something powerful
is.
About yeah. saying it and about confessing it to yeah. someone else and going arm in arm with someone that you trust.
I know. It can be a breakthrough. Yeah.
And it's interesting that you say that, because that's the essence of spiritual warfare in Scripture, which is to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Mm, right.
Which says, okay, well, what I was thinking, or what I've spent too much time thinking, even if I haven't voiced it, that's not what Christ says about me.
No.
So, I mean, in a lot of ways, it really comes down to, do you believe right. what Jesus says about you?
And that's the fight. And yet everything, and I think this is a great point to talk about, because we can tend to get in this conversation and beat ourselves up. Because mm-hmm. I had to look at my daughter and go, oh my gosh, was my lie contagious? Did she just watch me live? I wasn't critical of her. My husband wasn't either. Mm-hmm. Did she just watch us try to perform for acceptance and like learned it? Probably. Mm-hmm. And I remember just feeling so bad about myself and going, oh gosh, like I should have dealt with this. I should have. And I don't think that's how God views it. I think he is very empathetic to the fact that we have an enemy. And we are not warring against flesh and blood, that we are warring against principalities that are seeking to put those that love God in bondage. And so he's coming to cause us to not believe, and he's got so much at his disposal, from social media to television to parents maybe that were critical to all kinds of, he's got all of it, you know, he'll use it all. But it's not necessarily our fault, but it is an opportunity. I see it as an invitation, that we have an invitation to consider maybe it's not true.
Yeah.
And maybe I haven't believed what God said about me.
Yeah.
And it's okay to understand, you have it right in there, darkness doesn't go quietly when the light yeah. breaks in. You know, there might be some spiritual warfare. So yeah. not to resist when you start feeling like, wait, this feels hard.
Yeah.
This feels like a lot, but to keep pressing into the truth.
Yeah. The devil does not want us
No.
bringing any attention to this. This has been the hardest book I've ever written, top to bottom, everything about it. And I know why. I mean, it's so obvious to me. I'm like, this is exposing his main tactic for humans, and especially those that are in the church, because he wants us in bondage. And so we miss the things that God has for us because we're insignificant, because we're helpless, yeah. because we can't make a difference.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a ploy.
Yeah. Well, even, yeah, you're talking about two kingdoms. And when you talked about the first one, it's like, why wouldn't the enemy want you to stay there?
Right.
It's all self, you know?
And the more I live in God's kingdom, the more fun I have, the more joy I have, the more trouble I'm causing to hell. Like, it's
yes.
good to be
yes.
in the kingdom of God
it
and to
is.
Be walking in that kind of freedom.
And it's good to do the work.
It is. And you know what? I think there's some people watching right now that can start that work. I would like to get this book into your hands, if you would like to. You can get it anywhere you get books. We know that. Mm-hmm. But we have an opportunity today where if you will help us break into that kingdom of darkness with God's light and love and tell people, well, some of them believe some pretty serious lies about themselves, that they are hopeless, but we're going to show them, no, it's not hopeless. We have a huge opportunity. We call it mission feeding. And I'd like to give you a little bit of a glimpse of that. If you will join us today, you can request Jenny Allen's book. We'd love to send it to you. But more importantly, you will be doing some of that work to show some people that, nope, it's not hopeless. There is a God who loves you, and there are people who care. Watch this and you'll see how.
Eu mesmo com medo, porque fome mata as pessoas. Se a criança passa mesmo 2 dias, 3 dias, não vai comer nada, vai ficar mole. Agora eu assim falo nas crianças, mas com medo que minhas crianças vão morrer.
Agora eu te vou, eu estou mal, tu mal, eu te trabalho. Bakutala ngobe balila bayongwezi balya bebokwete onomboko yatso yokutyoka banzo kulya uzapo beunzali utima sembre waling'ang'o bo balila belo bebolila mende sisikwete mai sikwete papai wasi bafa sikwete manu likwete mwakwe paatang'o ndoto
if we will remember all those children who are on the edge of death, they're malnourished, they're hungry, and we will do something about it, we won't have to put another white cross into the sand. Let's not forget those for whom we were too late, but more importantly, let's not forget those who are within our reach. We can save lives. We can stop the cycle of death here through Mission Feeding. Please do it today. You know, Belinda, those graves that you saw, here's the wild thing about that, and really sad. Those are pre-dug graves. In other words, it's not like someone died and so they dug a grave. They dig them knowing
expecting
that they will be filled.
Oh.
And did you notice how short they were? Mm-hmm. They dig some larger ones for adults, but they dig many
children's
graves. They pre-dig them because they're planning on death, and they're not wrong.
I think of the mom who was just saying, I don't even want my kids to go to sleep because I don't know that they're going to wake up. As a mother, I have never had to fear that when my child goes to sleep at night, they may not wake up because of malnutrition ever.
Yeah, and the malnutrition is behind so many things. And actually, Belinda was just asking me, earlier today, what does that mean? And the reality is, if there is something else like malaria or like some waterborne disease that a child gets when they're malnourished, the chances are slim to none that they can survive that kind of thing. That's why the medical clinics that you'll see in many of our roll-ins and our footage, they're critical. But the point of Mission Feeding is that they never actually have to go to one of those clinics. I'm glad they're there, but they're a last resort. Mm-hmm. When we take the food to them, as Mission Feeding does, you never get to that desperate point of the clinic.
Because so, we kind of
kick malnutrition
at the knees. I mean, I'm looking at this bowl here and just thinking, this is what we provide when they come. These children can bring this bowl and can fill this up.
So the bowls came about because viewers like you saw the Mission Feeding outreach where they were bringing plastic bags or sometimes rusty cans like this, which immediately gets way too hot.
Too hot.
Trust me, I felt it. And they're like, you need to give them some. So, yeah, we started bringing the bowls in, and now they're all over. We'll go back to places we hadn't been in years, and you'll see those bowls everywhere because they're heat resistant. And yes, so sometimes that's the only meal that a child will get, but it's so nutrition enriched that it gets them through the emergency times.
Wow.
Other places they might get a couple meals. Usually it's in a school because they're getting some instruction. They're getting a hope and a future. I mean, this, I could go on and on, by the way. I could go on forever about the Mission Feeding program because it is such a beautiful work, and it is such a work of God. It's very close to my heart. We are making a difference. But you need to know that we only make the difference, those of us at Life Outreach and those of us who are our partners in the field. We only make that difference with your support. It's viewers like you that make this possible. You need not go there. You just need to give whatever God puts on your heart. We've got people there. They're waiting. The need, you can see, is huge. But we can fill that need. We can fill it with a bowl of food, and we can fill it with the love of God, and we do both. I'm asking you to join us, to fill a bowl, to share God's love. $30, $50, $100, $1,000 if you can do it. It'll help feed 3, 5, 10, 100 children. Do what you can. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. And I can tell you, I've been there. I've seen it with my own eyes. Mission Feeding saves lives. Will you do it? I hope you'll do it right now.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves critically depleted and many areas experiencing devastating famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us every single day. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to a prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Father's Heart Devotional. Drawing from Scripture and his past, James Robison takes you on a 90-day journey to help you experience a deeper, more personal relationship with God as your loving Father. With your gift of $100 or more, you will receive the Father's Heart Bundle. This stationery set, paired with the devotional, is a thoughtfully designed collection created to help you share encouragement, prayer, and the love of our Heavenly Father with those you care about. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children in desperate need, request life's beautiful bronze sculpture, the Good Shepherd. So please call, write, or make your gift online today.
My prayer is that we haven't reached this child too late. My prayer is that the therapeutic food that we're bringing this child will save its life. But my other prayer is that we're able to reach the many mothers in villages all over this area, just like Marta, mothers who are so desperate for food that we can reach them before their children end up in malnutrition clinics. You can be an answer to that prayer. You can provide the resources today to enable our mission teams to bring that food to these villages, to bring food to mothers like Marta. So please, I'm asking you today to go to the phone or get online and give the very best gift that you can give. Give the gift of food. Give the gift of life.
You really can make a difference, and you can make that difference today. Please join us. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. What an opportunity, what a blessing to people that desperately need to hear from us. And don't forget, you can request Jenny Allen's book today, The Lie You Don't Know You Believe. Thank you very much. And there's a quiz. Well, you mentioned a quiz, Jenny.
Yes.
Is that available? Where's that available?
Yes, it's free. It's jennyallen.com, JennyAllen.com.
Perfect.
Well, we have loved having you on the show. Would you come back for a second show?
I would love it.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh,
let's
that'll be fun. Yeah. Awesome. You come back for another program. You can catch them all at lifetoday.org, but we look forward to you next time with Jenny Allen. We'll see you again.
But when you do all of these 12 numbers, I find the majority of my patients, they live long, they live strong.
Dr. Don Colbert, next week.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.